Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss so many things about women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries, and we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 70 of the O Woman Podcast, and in today's episode, I wanted to talk about something that you might have seen if you have a Facebook page or if you're at all involved in, if you just spend any time online, you might have seen something about this because I feel like it's kind of become a big hit for people to talk about. It's two articles I've read have talked about a woman who made yogurt from her vaginal secretions. One of the articles is named "A Brief Chat with a Woman Who Made Yogurt from Vaginal Secretions," and the other one is called "How to Make Breakfast with Your Vagina," which is a hilarious name. So they're written by different people, and I have links to both of those inside the body of this post where this audio was found. If you want to look for it there, it's also going to be in resources. One of the resources sections on the website, owomanpodcast.com. But both of the articles talk about the same thing. They talk about a woman who spent some time thinking about how we have natural flora in our vagina. And I've talked about this in the past. I've talked about it in the episode where I discussed our vulva and our vaginas, and then in the other episode where I talked about our vaginas and our uteruses, and our cervixes. So there's natural flora in that area, but she spent some time thinking about it and wondering, I know that it's the same kind of bacteria that's in yogurt, lactobacillus, but I wonder, is it possible to, you know, kind of cultivate that and use it to make yogurt, since that's what's in yogurt? So she kind of looked it up, and apparently there was really no discussion about it. She was really surprised, considering that we live in a world where you can find cookbooks with sperm and semen, you know, semen cookbooks, that there wasn't any mention of, a vaginal cookbook, honestly. And it wasn't really cooking. She made yogurt. We have yet to know exactly, or at least the stuff I've read, the details of exactly how she did it, but I can speculate. So that's kind of the story, and I think that's really interesting because a lot of people have been super freaked out about it. You can just tell some of the responses are like, oh my god, how gross and weird. And then other people are up in arms about those people saying, come on, it's not that weird. There are cookbooks that are semen cookbooks and stuff. Think about it from a different perspective. It's actually just a really interesting experiment. So not only did she make the yogurt, she actually tasted the yogurt. And in one of the articles, she talks about the flavor. And so if you want to know about that, you can read it. I mean, it makes sense. If you think about it, it's probably going to be a little bit zesty, an interesting sour flavor. It definitely wasn't like regular yogurt, she mentions. But she describes more in detail what it's kind of like. So I just wanted to talk today, not so much about the articles, but what this actually has to say about us as a society and as a people. And so today I want to talk about how we should not be so squeamish about our vaginal goo, y'all. Just in general, about any of those body fluids. And if you've listened to other episodes, you know that I mentioned this kind of sentiment in other episodes. Come on, it's our body. I don't know why we're so freaked out about it, about what it does and how it works. It's actually fantastic the way it works. But I wanted to spend some time today talking about the social implications of her doing this and what people think and what I think and that kind of thing. So first of all, it's worth mentioning, and I kind of touched on it earlier, but how differently this was received, because it's a woman talking about her vaginal juices as opposed to a guy talking about his semen or whatever. It's interesting how it's true, you can't deny it. Our society somehow thinks that there's some sort of innate grossness from vaginal fluids that isn't really so much there with semen. I mean, nobody wants to, like, touch somebody's random semen or anything like that. But the concept of consuming semen isn't as gross for whatever reason. I don't see why that's the case. there's no real biological reason that makes any sense. It actually probably tastes, if you think about it, a lot grosser. Considering the way the woman who made the yogurt described the yogurt, that tasted a lot more delicious than semen I've tasted. I mean, semen isn't the best tasting fluid ever. It's actually rather gross, and rather basic and strange. Like, ooh, it's sort of like bitter almost, if you know what I'm talking about. So it's interesting that, you know, when a man talks about, there's like, I don't know, a semen cookbook, or we talk about a man's semen, somebody eating that, it's kind of just like, oh, that's a little gross, but whatever, we're going to move on. But it's not something people are going to be up in arms about discussing, like, why would you do such a thing? That's so weird. Like, a lot of people, I feel like they've received this, the news of her making yogurt with her vagina, as she's some sort of weirdo, when really she's just a scientist. She was curious to know. You think about how needed is the parallel between the lactobacilli in yogurt and in our crotches. I feel like that's a very sensible leap. It's a very sensible leap to connect those two and to think, huh, what could I do with that? And so for someone to poo-poo that as an idea, as an experiment, and even the concept of her tasting it, it seems ridiculous to me, especially when you think about a really great point that was made in the articles, that if you think about, like, the health benefits of yogurt, and all of that, the great bacteria and all the great stuff that's going on in yogurt, it makes sense. Someone hypothesizes this. It might not be true. We don't know yet. Of course, there's been no scientific tests, but it makes sense that if you're going to benefit from having a yogurt, you're going to benefit the most from having a yogurt made from your own lactobacilli that's then become more yogurty. It's been allowed to do its thing in an external environment that isn't your crotch, which makes it actually more beneficial on a health scale. And then you eat it, and then it would be even better. So think about how it's like, oh, let's have yogurt so we can regulate our digestive system and stuff. It seems like to me, and the authors make this point too in the articles, that it makes sense that it would be actually better for you to have yogurt from your own vaginal juices, which is so neat to me. And it's so not disgusting. I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily like the flavor. If I ever did that, I would so be into tasting it. Like, what would be the point of making yogurt with your crotch if you're not going to taste it? And then also, like I mentioned, there's so few information out there about actually what really is going on in a woman's crotch and all the bacteria that's in there. I mean, you know, there's bacteria in there, but whoever thought to connect the dots before this woman and make yogurt? Nobody. It seems like that would have happened decades ago. Somebody would have found that to be cool enough to do. But we're just now thinking of that, and it's just now become something we want to talk about and go, ooh, that's gross. Another thing that I thought was interesting that the woman who actually made the yogurt said was that she wasn't trying to, you know, like, start a revolution or anything crazy. She was just doing kind of an experiment. And I'm interested to know if that's really, really her mindset, or if she's been kind of bluffed down by all of the strange responses that have been received since making the vaginal yogurt. If you make it and you're curious to see, oh, could this really be a health benefit? Could this really be a thing? Would I want to look more into this? You're really going to feel kind of disheartened if a lot of the feelings about what you've done are outcry, you know, thinking, oh, this woman's ridiculous, how gross. And it would be easy to say, oh, well, I was just doing an experiment, you know, I'm not trying to do anything crazy, I was just trying it. I say, why not try it? Try to make it a thing. I feel like that would be awesome. I mean, some of you might have heard of how in some places there's like breast milk ice cream. Like, women actually donate breast milk, knowing that it goes for this reason. And it's little ice cream shops that make ice cream out of women's breast milk. You know, it could be vaginal yogurt. It could be a little novelty thing. I think that would be neat. But I guess maybe the woman, she wasn't doing it for that reason, or maybe she just kind of got backed down by all the comments she heard. But I just think that would be kind of a cool idea. Why is that such a gross thing? There was also a lot of negative feedback when that breast milk ice cream became a thing. People were like, ew, that's gross. Aren't you going to get like a disease from someone? You know, and I know the people that are making the ice cream are doing a really good job of being safe and treating breast milk just like, you know, you would need to make sure people were healthy. But it's neat how freaked out people get about women's bodies. Not even, yeah, women's bodies, but the things that come out of women's bodies. So I guess one of the big reasons for that is people imagine, oh, that stuff is not supposed to be eaten. Yeah, but why not when you think about it? What's so taboo about eating vaginal discharge or goo? Every person who's ever gone down on a woman has ingested vaginal discharge. They're not dead. They're probably actually better for it. And so it's neat that that's such a taboo thing. It's like not neat in a good way. It's kind of weird and upsetting, but it's interesting to note that it's such a taboo thing. But I don't know. I wonder, why does it feel so taboo? Why is that such a taboo place? I think it probably goes back to, in different cultures, and particularly in the history of the U.S., a woman's crotch is dirty. It's gross. Things come out of it that are unknown and a bit frightening and not for consumption because it's not clean, it's not pure, it's not, you know, when you're on your period, you're dirty, that kind of concept. And I've talked about that in other episodes too. So I guess it goes back to that. But if you think about, you know, the idea, okay, well, it's not supposed to be eaten, why would you eat it? How do you know if it's not supposed to be eaten? Half of, like, not even half, like, probably 95% of the shit we eat is not supposed to be eaten. Who was ever supposed to eat Cheetos? I find them delicious and horrible at the same time. But we weren't supposed to be eating Cheetos, whatever the supposed to be kind of thing is. It just happened because we made Cheetos, even though Cheetos is going to be way worse for you in the long run than yogurt from your crotch. Or breakfast from your vagina, as the title of that one article says. Most of the domesticated foods, even if they're not filled with crap like Cheetos, are not something we are supposed to be eating. Domesticated pigs, those are very different than the wild boar we originally started eating, and then we domesticated them and then they changed. So we were not destined to eat domesticated pig, and yet we do and we regard it as natural. We were not destined to eat veal, and yet we do, and most people regard it as natural. Or we were not destined to eat, domesticated corn. Domesticated corn is way different than the corn that started originally, where corn came from. But we just have been doing it for so long that it's become normal. So the idea of taboo and normal has a lot to do with time period and literally time, how long it takes for something to be acceptable. If you look in history, not even about stuff we eat, but like women's rights issues or just different things like that, a lot of things have changed, about the idea of women, what women deserve, what women have, and women's bodies because of just time and a lot of effort on the part of a lot of people. But time is one of the big things. Eventually, you do it long enough, people are going to go, nah, it's not that big of a novelty anymore. It's not that exciting either to be so into it or to be anti this. You just kind of get over it, whatever. And like I said, how is it not supposed to be eaten if oral sex has been around so long? You know you are eating some vaginal discharge if you're ever going down on a woman. So how is it such a big deal? I think it's way cooler than people are giving it credit for. People are giving it credit, I think, in a lot of cases because it's such a bizarro thing. To me, it's not bizarro. To me, it's new and fresh, but to me, it's cool. It's fantastic. It reminds us of how connected we are to the things we eat, how our body is what we eat, literally, because literally we are what we eat. So it makes really cool cyclical, circular sense to be actually literally yourself. You are actually eating yourself, not in a creepy, you know, cannibalistic way, but in a way that maybe would benefit you. Who knows? It would be great to have someone do some research and actually see if eating yogurt made from your own natural lactobacilli that is naturally in your vagina would be better for you than other yogurt. I would wager yes, and I just think that would be really cool to see. I want to talk a little bit more today, too, beyond the scope of the two articles about the vaginal yogurt. Just a reminder that people are really freaked out about what comes out of women. Period blood, they're freaked out about that. And, oh my God, people are so freaked out about placentas. Think about what that is. Who, except a woman who has seen a woman give birth or have given birth themselves, really understands the concept of a placenta? It's usually ignored. A birth happens, you imagine, oh, someone had a baby, yay. And nobody imagines what happens after. Nobody thinks, oh, so there's another stage to labor. There's stage three, which is actually the placenta being born. And in some cultures, the placenta is regarded as very special and sacred because it kept the baby safe for all of those almost 10 months of being in the womb. And Also, it's in some cultures regarded as almost like a kind of a twin kind of a thing, where it actually contains some sort of spiritual aspect of the baby or some sort of really connected aspect. And I think that's really fantastic. It makes a lot of sense to me. Why not give credit to such an amazing thing that is a natural thing that has protected your baby for so long? And, of course, people are freaked out about periods. In the episode that I did about diva cups and vaginal cups, menstrual cups, I guess is really what they're called, menstrual cups, I pointed that out. I talked about how a lot of people might not want to use a menstrual cup because you really have to kind of get down and dirty with it. But to me, that's going to be one of the biggest solutions to why everybody gets so freaked out about what comes out of women. We love the babies that come out of women, but everything else that comes out of women, we are not fans of for whatever ridiculous reason. And I think the approach that the Diva Cup takes, which is the brand I use of menstrual cup, which is so hands-on, which is you have to stick your hands up your vagina and pull out the cup and get blood on your hands and empty it off and rinse it out and put it back in. It at first could be a little bit daunting, but it's nice because it actually reminds you what is really going on down there. Because when we get disconnected from that kind of thing, on a personal level and on a societal level, we lose touch with so many aspects, in my opinion, of what makes us human and what makes nature embedded in us and makes us obvious that we're embedded in nature. So the idea of using a more hands-on approach to dealing with your periods and the idea of using a more hands-on approach to dealing with your placenta, so actually acknowledging that it's a thing and maybe thinking, hey, thank you, placenta, instead of just, you know, oh, I don't want to see that, throw it away, blah, put it in a biohazard bag and throw it away. It's sad that something that in some cultures is regarded as a spiritual thing in the U.S. is generally put in a biohazard bag and put far away. So it's a really interesting parallel. But, and then also, of course, like a more hands-on approach to general vaginal discharge. A lot of people are freaked out about discharge. A lot of women are embarrassed about their discharge when it's just normal discharge. Normal discharge doesn't usually smell. It smells a tiny bit, but not a lot. And it changes consistency and color and texture based on when you are in your period or if you're pregnant or all this hormonal stuff or stress even. Or medicines, because I would like to mention that today's my last day of antibiotics because I had strep throat, and I have totally noticed a difference in my vaginal discharge. It's kind of been all the same, and it's been a lot more thin. I just think it's really neat, and that's because I know the antibiotic has killed all of the good bacteria, like my natural lactobacilli, in my vagina, and so things are different down there for a little while until I can grow it back. And what really a better way to grow it back than would be to have yogurt from my own vagina? Like, I wish I had thought to make yogurt from my own vagina before I started taking the antibiotics so I could replenish my system. I just think that would be super cool. So I'm advocating a more hands-on approach to periods and birth and placentas and vaginal discharge. Try the yogurt. Check yourself out. You know, see. It's not going to hurt anything. That's the big thing. It's not going to hurt anything. It's just going to make you more aware of what's going on with your body. And the more aware you are, the more comfortable you are. And the more comfortable you are, the more you're going to be willing to talk about what comes out of you. And if you're willing to talk about what comes out of you, men and women that you love and are with, and your children and your family is going to be more willing to talk about it. And then eventually, we're going to have a culture of discourse, of discussion, of openness, which is what I think we need. I really think we need that. And I really liked the articles that I read about this. I thought they were interesting. They gave really good information, and they weren't afraid to talk about the fact that the woman actually tried the yogurt that she made. You know, they weren't trying to make her seem like a kook. They were just describing what her experience was. So thanks for listening to the show today. Like I said earlier, the two articles that I read that had to do with this woman's yogurt vagina experiment there's going to be a link to them inside the body of this post, as well as in the resources tab on the side of the website. So just a reminder, check out the website, owomanpodcast.com. Check us out on Facebook, A Woman Podcast, easy to find. And then subscribe on iTunes and please rate the episodes. That would be really helpful to me. It'd be really helpful to other people who are listening. It'd be really helpful to future people who might want to listen, but they need somebody to rate the episode so they can find the show. Thank you, as always. I love talking with you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay, bye.